I'm a little boy with glasses, the one they call a geek. A little girl who never smiles, cause I've got braces on my teeth. And I know how it feels to cry myself to sleep. I'm that kid on every playground who's always chosen last. A single teenage mother trying to overcome my past. You don't have to be my friend. Is it too much to ask? Don't laugh at me, don't call me names, don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all the same. Someday we'll all have perfect wings. Don't laugh at me. I'm the cripple on the corner, you pass me on the street. I wouldn't be out here begging if I had enough to eat. And don't think I don't notice that I rise never meet. I lost my wife and a little boy, someone crossed that yellow line. The day we laid them in the ground, the day I lost my mind. And right now I'm down to hold this little cardboard sign. So don't laugh at me, don't call me names, don't get your pleasure from my pain. In God's eyes, we're all
right. Don't laugh at me. This here is Big Dot with you on another Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, saying welcome one, welcome all to the program today, especially our surrounding city and states and our countries near and far, as well as those who called 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. Just press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you. Any of you that want to join the conversation, we'd just be glad to hear from you. As today we are going to have a special guest. He'll be joining us a little later because he's in transit coming back from work. So he'll be joining us a little later, about 45 minutes into the program. We'll be playing a little bit of music as he doesn't want to have any background noise to disturb the program, and we appreciate that. So we'll be waiting for him to join us. Our special guest will be Michael Gay. He is a manager at Walmart, and we will be discussing with him, yes, believe it or not, accessibility issues as they pertain to not just only Walmart, but other stores in general, but basically Walmart, and some of the things they have with Walmart, some of the accessibility things they do for people with inconveniences, disadvantages, hindrances, challenges, whatever you want to call them, disabilities, which we don't prefer the word, handicaps, we don't prefer that word, or impairments. But, yep, he's going to be talking with us on these subjects today because I understand they have some very special programs, and we want to get into those today and find out about those special programs. So we will be doing that later in the program as we talk with Michael Gay. But first off, Ghost Dot, who do we got with us right now?
Well, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost Band of Angels, you and me.
Okay. Well, right now, it looks like we could just get right into some good music for right now, and we'll boogie a little bit and enjoy some good gospel music. We'll throw some gospel music in to enjoy that. And once Michael Gay shows up, we will then get right into our interview and enjoy the topic that's going to be brought up. And we're going to find out some real good stuff about the accessibility that Walmart offers to those with special needs, of those who have special needs, and we're going to see what they are doing for those that have special needs. Amen.
Hey, honey.
Yeah.
Could I ever read this Leader Dog Pledge of Allegiance by you and Leader Dog Prayer by you and the My Dog is a Shepherd by Larry Ligon? Because those are actually people that are having disabilities.
Ghost Dot, we're going to have you actually read them in between certain pauses in the music here. I was already thinking of that, so yeah.
I got them right here on the wall.
Just when I ask you to, we'll have you put those in. But right now, just hold on.
Okay.
Okay. We will be having those today. So right now, we're going to enjoy a few songs, and then we'll come back for the first of those, okay?
Sounds cool.
Okay, so we'll enjoy a few songs here, and then we'll come back and grab one of those poems. Okay, so here we go.
Thank you. The name above all names is Jesus.
Jesus.
King of kings and Lord of lords. His name is Jesus.
Now, Ruth, go ahead and read us that Leader Dog Pledge.
The Leader Dog Pledge of Allegiance by Reverend Ken Wolfgang. I pledge allegiance to the harness of Leader Dog and to my master for which I stand, all nations under paws, with liberty and independence for all.
All right, and you are listening to the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and do we still have anybody with us yet, Ruth?
Just us and Jesus.
Okay, well, let's continue on with the program. Amen.
Let's praise the Lord.
Thank you. Oh,
much applause. He's on with us now.
So you say our guest is with us now?
Yeah, six. Six is here.
Oh, so six is. All righty.
Yeah, he should have that much applause.
Yes, he should. Amen. All right. And go ahead, Ruth, now with our poem, My Dog is a Shepherd.
Okay, My Dog is a Shepherd by Larry Ligon. My dog is a shepherd, just what I want. She maketh me to rise early every morning. She leadeth me beside garbage cans and parking meters. And she restoreth my freedom. She guideth me in the path of safety for my life's sake. Yea, though I walk through the thunder of the railroad station and among the mongrels of Plagger Street, I will fear no evil, for she is with me. The creak of her harness and the jingle of her collar, they comfort me. She prepareth a way for me in the presence of all confusion. She covereth my hand with affectionate nibbles, and my love for her runneth over. Surely, with affection and correction, I shall follow her all the days of her life, and she will dwell in my heart forever. Ooh, I think that poem is cool, Ken.
And, of course, that there was a person who obviously had, like, a seeing eye dog, and what they've done is they rewrote the words of the 23rd Psalm, but in the words talking about their dog, how their dog guides them, etc. All right, and you are listening to the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. And I would like to remind everybody, if you've not done so, remember, listening to great programs like this for you is totally free, but for us, it does have a cost. And we would appreciate a love gift from you. And there are several options you can help us to keep those costs taken care of. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to PayPal and enter the email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6@gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. Again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4. And in both cases, you enter the amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you for your love gift. Amen. All right, we're going to play another couple of songs, and by then I think our guest, Michael Gay, should be with us. So let's go ahead and get a couple more songs in here.
All right, sweetheart.
Oh.
Yes, you are listening to the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network by calling 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. Just press the number 1, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you as we are waiting our guest, Michael Gay, and we are going to have a great interview with him speaking about accessibility issues, especially with Walmart and other stores, but mainly Walmart, and how they help those with special needs. And, Ghost Dot, do we have our special guest yet?
Now, did you want me to do that other poem while we wait?
Yep. Now we are ready for the last one that you didn't do yet.
Okay, this is the Leader Dog Prayer by Kenneth Wolfgang. Dear God above, bless this man I guide and help me keep him alive. Be my mortal sight this day on streets where little children play. Bless my master fast asleep when the night is long and deep, and keep my handler safe and sound through the hours big and round. Make my judgment sound as steel, and be his hand upon the wheel. Bless the traveler going past, and teach him not to go so fast. Give him strength for every trip, so I may care for what I ship, and make him mindful, and make me mindful every mile, that our lives are but a little while. Amen. Where did you write that at, darling?
I actually wrote that while I was at Leader Dogs when I was working and training with Maggie.
Okay, and then you wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, but that one by Larry Ligon, where'd you find that poem?
Larry Ligon, I found that one in the 50-Year Miracle of the Seeing Eye Dog.
Ah, okay. Well, why don't we at least say hi to Six here?
Yep, that's what I was just planning on doing.
Okay.
Saying welcome to Six as we have him on the line.
There's our good buddy.
Welcome, Six. How you doing? Of course, that is if he's got a coffee.
Yeah, I didn't get my coffee, but you had coffee today. I've been guzzling lots of water today.
All right. Well, considering he's still waiting to get his coffee, I think what we'll do, we'll pop another couple songs in here as we're waiting on our guest, and then we'll hopefully have him by then. All righty.
Cool.
So here we go.
Jesus, Lord.
So it's that time. Let's see if our guest is tired yet after a full day of work as we get ready now for our interview with Michael Gay. Welcome, Michael.
Good evening, Wolfgang. How you doing? Thank you for having me join the show this evening. I did say I'll be in by 45 minutes, but that music was sounding so good, I didn't even want to interrupt it whatsoever. I love some great, great, great gospel. That was fantastic. Who was that, by the way? Was that Mississippi Mass Choir or someone, or what?
Mississippi Mass Choir, yeah. I'm not tired yet.
Okay.
Just a perfect song to get you in.
Yeah, I kind of caught that. I said, that sounds like a choir I know. So really enjoyed it. But thanks for having me here. And, hey, let's get the conversation started. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. So, as we said, this here is the Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. For those of you who called 515-605-9340, just press the number one, join the conversation. As we get started here with Michael Gay, we will be discussing accessibility issues, not only mentioning Walmart, as he is a manager for a Walmart, but also some other stores, but specifically Walmart. And he is going to be telling us specifically about some very special programs that Walmart has that I found out that normally some other stores do not, which kind of poked my interest, and I said, definitely something we've got to do right here for the Jumbo Braille program as we speak on this program on specifically people that have inconveniences, disadvantages, hindrances, challenges, whatever you want to call them. So today, Michael, first off, the thing that poked my interest was this shopper program. Exactly what is that program called, and exactly how does it work?
Okay, so now, to be honest, I didn't have a chance to really look at the actual detail of how it works, but many stores do offer that program. And, you know, it varies from location to location. As we all know, not just Walmart, but even Target stores, many stores are having issues with, as we all see on the news, with vandalism and, you know, fires and stuff like that. And when it comes to the safety of the shoppers, you know, that I have to admit, these stores are very, you know, critical about it, right? I mean, you don't want people to not shop at your establishment. One thing I can say about a Walmart or a Home Depot or Lowe's, what I've found is that where there is a lot of assistance in ways that a lot of people don't see, and if I can kind of like clarify that, I was surprised to see that where there are a lot of associates that are bilingual in a lot of the stores, first of all, not just speaking of, you know, disability folks, but when you look at disability, there are some folks who are bilingual that can speak in other languages, but also you have people who know sign language. I was really surprised to see some young associates, actually, that knew sign language. I really was, because we do have some customers who come in who can't really speak, right? So I was really impressed with that. I do believe that some stores are looking at hiring more folks that have those type of abilities to communicate. I mean, because let's keep in mind, you know, all retail stores are in the business to make money, no matter who, right? It doesn't matter, you know, they're going to try to get that customer what they want. Most stores now, and again, I mean, as me being a manager at my store, I think we do a really great job. I mean, we do have a lot of folks who have a lot of talents that can communicate with folks. Even myself, I don't speak Spanish, but, you know, I'll play charades in a sense, for lack of a better term, to understand what the customer is looking for. You know what I mean? In that respect, we don't speak the same language, but I can kind of like, you know, or I won't say charades, but or pantomime or whatever the term is, in order to understand what they're trying to communicate to me. Now, with a person with a disability, as far as being blind or partially blind, that is a challenge, of course. I spoke to one of my upper managers and asked him, well, in this type of situation, which you have brought to my attention, how would we handle that? And, you know, the thing is that, well, you know, if a person can speak and say what they're looking for and what they want, according to that manager, we would do everything possible to assist them and you know, to make sure that they get what they want. And, again, I'm not trying to brag on myself. I really, really take a lot of time for people who are in an establishment and don't know their way around. In fact, you don't have to be blind to not know, or partially blind to not know where a product is. There are people who stand right there and are, pardon me, looking right at the product and still say, where is such and such? You know what I mean? And that's what boggles my mind a lot of times. I mean, they're right there. It's right in front of them. But as far as assisting, I think many stores, at least I know at my store, there are some associates that, and I'm not going to lie, there are some associates that don't really want to help, but there are some who really do try to go out the way to do so.
Okay, so now, in specific, there was this program that we heard about the other day there. Six was making mention of this, about a special program that you have. It's some sort of shopper program where the person, the associate goes through the store and helps the shopper.
Okay, so that will probably go through what they call OGP, and I would think that would, and I'm just thinking that would probably go through the department that actually goes through the online order type shoppers, the people who order stuff online. You know, that's like if you were sitting at home and you want to order something and pick it up. I think that would go into their department, to where those associates, and that's all they do, is go around the whole store and pick up what the person online is ordering. I would think that in that situation, if you went in there physically and said, hey, look, I need assistance doing this, it would be an OGP associate who has a cart that will go through, you know what you want, and get your items for you. I would think it would work that way, because that's their job, is to shop for online, and more than likely, I would say, for a person of who might have a disability as far as sight, that management will be like, yeah, go ahead and get their items for them.
Okay, and so how would a person, like, say, that's blind go about, when they walk into the Walmart, how would they approach, let's say, customer service to ask for that type of assistance if they wanted that help?
Well, first of all, yeah, I would think you would go to customer service. Inform them that, you know, you have a disability, you know, of being blind or partially blind, and that you would need assistance. Do you have someone to assist me? I would think that the person at the customer service would be versed on it, of how to handle it. And normally, at most times, at a customer service desk, there's what they call a team lead, an individual who's actually like the manager over that area, right? And, of course, that team lead, I would think, will contact the team lead over in the OGP area and make them aware that, you know, we have a customer who needs, you know, on-hand assistance. So I think that's the way it would be done. Of course, it should be done, you know, because keep in mind, I mean, there's, that, you know, there's a lot of people ordering online. There's a lot of people who, you know, that rather order online, come and get their stuff and go. Me personally, I'm not a type of person who likes to order online, especially when it comes to my groceries. I like to pick up my own, but some people can't, you know, and I understand that. But I would think it wouldn't be a problem for that particular, you know, store to do so, because, you know, online is so big now, obviously. I mean, everybody orders online now, more so than in stores. That's why a lot of stores or a lot of places are shutting down, because of the online competition, you know, and there's a lot of competition out there. So I would think that any store, a Walmart, a Home Depot, a Lowe's, or anything, would go above and beyond to assist anyone with any disability, other than turning them away, you know, and not, you know, doing the same thing that they do for the person who's on the computer, they should be able to do for the person that's right there in the store with that same type of service. To go around the store, get your items. Yeah, I would think they would do the same thing, and I would expect them to.
Okay, so Grant, now, speaking of your website.
Manager. Okay, well, I have to say I'm a third-level manager. I'm not a store manager. I'm not a coach. I'm what they call a team lead. So, you know, I'm part of management staff, but the thing is that we're, you know, even as a team lead, you know, I have the responsibility to make sure that, you know, while I'm there, you know, the departments are, my departments are run smoothly. And, of course, there's times where I have to, you know, help oversee other areas of the store that are not my departments. You know, other individuals might have the day off. The store doesn't stop running just because that particular supervisor is off that day, right, or was scheduled earlier. Everything still has to go, you know, like clockwork, no matter what.
Right. Well, speaking of your website, now I've actually been on your website, believe it or not, the Walmart website, and unfortunately, using a screen reader with it, I don't know who I'd have to talk to or who I'd have to contact because it does not work with a screen reader very well at all.
Yeah, I would contact, you know, the corporate office, you know, and share with them your concerns. Because as I said, you know, to you before, I can't really speak on behalf of how Walmart does things. I just know that in my store, you know, we try to, and I'm pretty sure most of the stores that I've been in, we try to do everything possible for all customers. Now, I mean, in the real world, you know, there's going to be some glitches. We all know that. Miscommunications, that happens, you know. But, you know, as I said, on my behalf, all I can say is that when those type of situations arise, I do my best to try to help that customer because I want them to come back, you know. And I know it sounds like cliche, but no, I do. I want that customer to come back and shop, you know. And not just with Walmart. I've worked for Home Depot. I've worked for Lowe's. I've worked in construction, you know, and everything. And I've done work in folks' homes and stuff like that, businesses. I've had a long line of experiences in customer service, you know, and not just in retail. But, you know, the key thing, if you can't satisfy the customer, do you really expect them to give you their money? You know, so, and I've always said that and I'm not saying on just behalf of working for a major chain like Walmart, but even when I worked for Lowe's or Home Depot, I've always said I don't technically work for the company. I really work for the customer because if they don't buy the product, I don't get a paycheck, right? If you really think about it, if the product's not going out the door, people aren't coming in there to shop, you know, well, where is the profit for the company going to? It ain't going to go to the employee if they're not making sales. That's just bottom line. So I have to do my job in order for me to get a paycheck. Simple as that. I mean, that's just my perspective of the whole thing. And it doesn't have to be a major chain. It could be just a mom-and-pop store. If you're not treating the customer right and offering a good service, they're not going to come back. And guess what? You're not going to make a profit. You're not going to be able to pay your associates, your employees, even a mom-and-pop store. You're not going to be able to pay them. You look at a lot of stores that are shutting down now. Not just mom-and-pops, but even major department stores are shutting down, you know? You know, so it has a ripple effect. Now, back to what we were saying about, you know, individuals with disabilities. You know, I looked at where there are stores that do have, even Walmart, you know, they have a thing where they have a sensory thing that where they lower the light so it doesn't affect customers with, you know, sensitive eyes and stuff like that. You know, that I think is good. There's a lot of things and not necessarily programs, but I think with many stores that are trying to make it more accessible and more comfortable for shoppers. But initially, like you and I were saying, as far as getting assistance, in my years, I haven't seen many individuals asking for assistance for shopping. Now, I've seen where folks will come in and you know, be a little upset because they can't get a writing card. Because then here's where you got some shoppers, or I wouldn't call them shoppers, you got kids, you got even adults who are just lazy and clowny and get on one of the riding cars and just want to ride around the store when they really don't need it, you know. That's the one thing I've seen in all stores and frustrates me. And quick short story, there was these two young kids when I worked for Lowe's. They jumped on a cart apiece and was riding around the store, and lo and behold, here's some folks who really need it. And they rolled out in the garden. I went after them. I said, hey, look, you guys can't be riding around. Oh, I got an injury playing football. I said, both of you? I said, no, I ain't buying that. Give them up. You know, I mean, to me, that's just being disrespectful, you know, on their behalf. So, you know, those are the things that you have to look at where some folks, if we have folks who really did kind of like try to help disabled folks and have some respect, we wouldn't have these type of issues, such as that one that I just explained. But programs, you know, and everything set up, again, I say that where, you know, it may vary from different, you know, store chains. I would hope that in the future that they start concentrating on doing more than just accessibility. But, again, the assistance is what's important. But that's very rare as far as in my experience. But you shared it with me that that's what you had, correct? That there was an issue one time when you went to a store to get assistance, or a friend of yours did. I don't recall which way it went, but can you share
what
that was?
It had to do with a friend of mine. We're going to get to this, okay. But it had to do with a friend of mine, and it had to do with reading the prices on the, you know, the shelves and stuff. But we'll be getting to that here. Okay, but first, first off, okay, the question then comes, okay, you have this program that is there that, like I was mentioning, we could go to customer service, get the help, okay? Now, the big question is, what kind of training does this department have for helping those with disabilities if someone comes in the door and has a disability, whether it be deafness, blindness, what have you? What kind of training do they have to know about those with disabilities? Do they have any kind of special kind of training program that says, okay, if you got a blind person, well, just don't go and say, well, we're going this way or that way, or, you know, using those kind of famous cited directions?
Well, you know, I mean, to be honest, I'm not aware of any kind of a training for when you're, you know, having to deal with a person with a blindness or impairment as far as seeing. I'm not aware of that. You would have to talk to corporate about that. But me, myself, I am a system type person because I want to be, you know, I want to be cordial and kind. If you were to come into, you know, my store, you know, I would be like, you know, I would walk with you. You know, let's say if you're in a scooter or whatever, I would walk slowly. You know, that you know you don't have to try to chase me down and everything. And I would ask, are you able to follow me? Okay, you know, because you're trying to be respectful and you're trying to, you know, make sure that you're attentive to your customer. I mean, that's how I would handle it. And not to be rude or anything, but I think that it should be taken in that way. I think that a person should look at it not in a negative manner, but in a concerned manner of that, where, hey, look, I'm you know, because when a person would say that, me myself, if I was a person who had a disability as a blindness, I wouldn't look at it in a negative manner. I would look at it where, okay, he's attentive or she's attentive. Their focus is on me. See what I mean? Their focus on me. Because keep in mind that while I'm assisting you, and this happens all the time and with every store, I could be walking alongside of you and no one knows that I'm helping you, but another customer can come and say, excuse me, can you show me this, that, and the other? And they're not even realizing that I'm assisting you, right? And that happens all the time. People will roll up on a employer or associate and not comprehend, or well, I won't say comprehend, I'll say not look at the whole thing of where, okay, instead of saying, are you helping someone or are you busy, they just automatically go to what they want. And I've experienced that many a times. Sure, you've probably known that to happen amongst yourself and your friends and everything and family. You know, people just want a person to stop what they're doing and help them in a lot of cases. I'm not saying everybody, you know. I'm just saying, but there's quite a few out there that are just in a rush to get what they need and get out the store. But you know that it's not a thing of a surveying the whole landscape of, you know, of what's going on around. And paying attention. You do have some folks who will be like, oh, you're helping this person? Okay, I'll wait. Can you help me when you're done? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And mind you, I've been in the construction and retail business over 40 years, okay? So I've experienced a lot of different things in the retail industry. And again, through three major companies. And, you know, it's interesting how, you know, some are really making adjustments, and I think some are working. Some are experimenting, you know, with certain things to see what works. But by you bringing this topic up, I think it's interesting. I would still recommend that you contact, you know, the corporate office, and I would definitely discuss it even more of, you know, the concerns, and as far as a training, you know, for helping people with certain disabilities. I was talking to someone the other day. And what was interesting when you were talking about reading the product and everything, that I think that should be brought to attention. You know, if you were to go into any store, you know, shopping, and you have a difficulty of reading the product, because trust me, I do too, because it's so damn small, you know. It is so small. It's ridiculous. I'm straining to read it. So I can imagine anyone else trying to read it. And to have that type of assistance would be great. So I would definitely bring it to when you go to the customer service and of any store, okay, I'm not just saying Walmart. I'm saying Home Depot, Lowe's, TJ Maxx. It doesn't matter if you want to know what's in the product, or you know, anything. Just, you know, explain to them that they're going to have to be patient, and you're going to have some questions about it. I truly feel that there are some people who are compassionate enough to be helpful enough, you know, and maybe compassionate enough is not a the right word, but that would care enough to be like, yeah, okay, you know, I'm going to make time. Now, some stores may not. Some stores may be like, hey, I ain't got enough people to do this and that and the other. And I'm talking about any store now. Okay? Some may not. And I don't understand why. But, again, I say on my behalf, I'm like, you know, hey, look, if you took the time to come and shop at this location, I need to make time to help you get what you need. That's just the type of person I am, man. You know, you took the time to come shop here.
Okay. All right. Now, here, kind of a little change direction. Earlier, you were mentioning the riders, okay? Now, as you well know, some of those don't make very sharp turns, and sometimes they can make sharp turns, and they run into things. But what really is crazy, okay, picture this scenario, okay? A person has their own wheelchair, okay? And say it's been drizzling outside, if not raining, and the parking lot, you know, as most parking lots are, they got dirt on them and et cetera. So the person, they get their wheelchair out of the back of the car, out of the trunk, and they got it on the ground, you know, and their family member helps them get out of the vehicle and get into their wheelchair, okay? And they decide to go shopping for clothes. And it's a lady, and they go into the women's department. Now, certain aisles in the women's department are wide enough to handle wheelchair passage. But other areas...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I mean, they're so close. A person just walking is still brushing the clothes. And unfortunately, wheelchairs that are outside that a person brings of their own don't wash their wheels at your door.
Correct.
So,
ahead,
I mean, has anybody thought of that idea and thought, wait a minute, maybe we need to make these a little further apart?
As far as the aisles go, right. I see what you're saying as far as the aisles go. Well, you know, again, that goes to every company's corporate office. When they do a layout of a store, you know, you have to look at the square footage. And I know that they have to look at the square footage or they have. And I'm speculating. I think that when they go into those planning, they look at where, well, okay, the bigger shop areas is where where the most traffic is going to be. We need wider aisles, right? We need aisles going down. If you even go into any grocery store, you know, the layout is where they're thinking that, okay, and I'm saying any store, maybe the clearance stuff would probably be on a narrower aisle, right? Because, you know, it's clearance. But, you know, again, when you look at the total square footage of a store and you're trying to put so much stuff inside of it, you're limited space at some point. Some stores I've seen where even Target stores have remodeled and made certain departments smaller in order to make room for what else is selling bigger. It might take years down the road for some store to make to decide to go ahead and let's remodel the whole store. Let's change everything. And have you ever thought about this? No store is exactly the same. No store is exactly the same. No Target is exactly the same as the other Target. No Walmart, no Home Depot, no Lowe's is laid out exactly the same. And my belief for all of them is because companies don't want you to get so used to walking through the same door and seeing the same thing. You ever been to a Home Depot on one side of town and then go to a Home Depot on the other side of town and the garden center is on a totally different side of the building than what the lumber yard is? It's almost like they flip the store upside down. That's intentional. If you go to some grocery stores, it's the same thing. If you got a Kroger or Albertsons or whatever, not every store is laid out the same. Because then you would be programmed to go to the same location to get the same thing you want. They want you to see other items, other products. They want you to walk past other departments. That would be honestly stupid for any company, in my opinion, to have every store laid out the same way. Because some people get set in their ways. Well, I know if I walk through this door and go to the left, that's the produce area. But what if you go to a different location and walk through that same entrance and realize, wait a minute, this ain't laid out the same. And again, with the companies I've worked for, I've had plenty of customers come in and say, oh, I thought it was on this side of the store. Oh, wait a minute. this is not the same store I normally go to. Yes, it's not. You are right. It's laid out differently for a reason. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's intentional. Every company does that. I believe every retail company does that. For you to see other
and
products.
Even the same store will change their aisles, their products, whatever, to different
mm-hmm.
areas, whatever. But it does make a challenge for those who are blind, who already know where certain things are. And
exactly.
then all of a sudden
exactly.
they're makes it
and
difficult.
I agree with you because if the layout has been that way for 10 years, but, you know, you have to remember things change, times change, you know, even products change. I get customers who come in and they're like, do you have this? Or I'm looking for this and that and the other. And I'm like, what is it again? And they'll tell me what it said. Well, I bought it about 5 or 6 years ago. I'm like, oh, my goodness. No, it's not in the store anymore. Merchandise changes, you know. If it's not in the store, you might be able to get it online. But do you really think that same merchandise is going to be there 5, 10 years later? And do you realize that there's more merchandise available online than it is in stores? And it wouldn't be feasible for a company or a store to keep merchandise that's not moving on the shelves. Because here's the thing. A lot of people don't realize it, but that's real estate. Think about it. That spot in that store, that's real estate. Martha Stewart had product in, or I guess she still does, in Home Depot stores. You couldn't put nothing else on that end cap or in that bag that wasn't Martha Stewart product. That's paid for. In every store her product was in, it's real estate. You're not going to see her stuff on the back aisle in the corner. Ralph Lauren used to be in Home Depot's. That's real estate. So that's what makes, you know, the difference of store layouts. You know, and everything comes down to space. Just like you said, everything comes down to space. What can we fit here? There are people at corporate offices for all these companies, and they're planning this stuff out, you know, months, maybe years in advance before they do a new layout on a store. You know, they don't just all of a sudden say, hey, next year, let's go ahead and change up the store. Now, that takes time and planning. They have to, you know, it's just like an architect. You're the architect of the interior and what's going to work. So, you know, but now your concern is, like you said, those other narrow aisles. I agree with you. Maybe there should be something looking at that. And that goes for all retailers because, yeah, if you're in a wheelchair and you can barely get through this area, you know, yeah, that's inconvenience. That can be inconvenience.
But it's more than that. It's, like I said, I mean, if the wheelchair wheels are dirty and they're mm-hmm. rubbing against the product that you're trying to sell, and then somebody mm-hmm. comes in there who wants to buy that product. Here they're buying a dress that's, for example, a dress that had somebody's wheelchair wheel rub against it and got it dirty.
Right.
You see what
I'm saying? That has to be the call of the store, you know, that particular store. They want to, if they want to leave it on the shelf, you know, or hanging there dirty, that's on that department supervisor, you know, I think that where I would remove a product like that, of course you can't throw it in the washing machine, but you know, at some point you might have to discount that product, or they might have to what they call, you know, return it, you know, RTB it or whatever, return the vendor, you know, damaged product, you know, they might have to do something like that. You know, and just get rid of it. You know, so
all right. Well, switching gear again, you were talking
mm-hmm.
about the kids that misabuse the riders, and I've seen adults, like you said, doing that. Okay, but now here's another one that a lot of people I've seen misabuse, and unfortunately it's happened because of this new thing with what they call the emotional support animals, okay? The ADA, people, if they go to our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org, you spell that with Y, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, the blind, dot, and the four is F-O-R, for the blind.org. You click accessibility, and you go there, and if you look under service animals, then you click let me in. It gives you the actual ADA requirements for both organizations such as stores and those who have the service animal. What is the service animal's responsibility and what is the store's responsibility? Okay. Now, the person's responsibilities in very simple terms are their animal's supposed to be under control, housebroken, well-groomed, okay? While the example of Walmart, I'll just use Walmart just as an example, any store.
You keep coming back to my employer, but that's okay, but any store.
Like I said, Walmart or any store. This could include like a theater, you name it, okay? Anywhere. Their responsibility is if the dog is out of control, is not groomed, is not housebroken, whatever, they have the right to say to the handler that they can refuse entry for that animal, but they cannot, under the ADA, they cannot refuse entry for the person with the disability.
Okay, I can see that. I can see that because I was going to share something with you, but go ahead.
Okay, so for example, I come in with a seeing eye dog, and my dog is barking or lunging or whatever or snapping at other customers, or it's not groomed. If I go into Lowe's and that's happening, they have the right to tell me, look, your dog is out of control. You cannot bring that dog into this store.
Correct.
That is their right, but they cannot say to me, you cannot come into the store. I can have a person guide me into the store. They cannot stop me from coming into the store. They can only stop the dog.
However, you are not the disturbance. The dog is.
Right. However, on the other hand, if I go in the store, my dog is well-groomed, under control, is not taking a dump in aisle 5, okay, and then a dump in aisle 7. If my dog is not doing those things, okay, they cannot say a thing against my dog, no matter what their feelings are about dogs or the disabled, what have you, they can't say a word. So even if they themselves, one of their employees, has a fear of dogs, they can't say a word.
Correct.
That is the law according to the ADA.
Okay, but we.
However, we've got people out there with these emotional support animals, what they call emotional support animals. What they've done is they go to a doctor, a therapist. They get a letter stating that their pet is an emotional support animal, but this dog has got absolutely no obedience training. A lot of them aren't even house broke, and they're bringing them into stores.
I follow you on that. Yep, I follow you on that. But now let's look at this in a different way. And I understand exactly what you're saying because I've had those experiences of individuals bringing their animals into the stores. Trust me, I've had every single story you can think of, every experience just about. A service dog, which you can go to many stores and you will see that they will have a sign on the door. Service dogs are allowed. But there are some stores, some companies that will say pet friendly. And that's up to that company. They want to say pet friendly. So if that dog bites somebody and you have that sign on that door, then that company will be liable if they bite a customer. That's my opinion, right? If your dog bites me and there's a sign on the door from that company that says pet friendly, that they allow any animal inside the store, that's on them. I will deal with a lawsuit then, okay? But there are some stores that say service animals only. Now, what you're saying, emotional animal, what was the term again?
Emotional support animals, which are covered under the service animal heading.
Right, okay. So, still, again, I think that's a very vague thing there that needs to probably be looked at again, because here's the thing that where I don't believe a dog should be, a dog, cat, anything, should be in a grocery store. I really don't. Now understand why. It's food in there. Okay? I mean, there's food. I don't like seeing a dog or a cat over in the grocery area. I might be okay with, you know, some other stores or this, that, and the other where there's no groceries, you know, but exposed food, I don't agree with that. That's my own opinion. You know, but there are some stores that do allow folks to bring their pets in. I had back when I worked for Home Depot, an individual brought in, they had a pit bull. It was a pup, and it was a family. And he decided to take a dump in the aisle, and the girl tried to run him outside to the little island out there, and the dog finished his business, and she started to bring him back in. I said, no, you cannot bring the dog back in, because he already pooped in the aisle, right? And maintenance had to clean it up. So when you bring it to that level of when you bring it to the point that your dog has defecated inside of a store and the store has to clean it up, and it clearly says on the door, service animal, and this was not one, no. I had a woman who had five dogs. She was a dog walker, came into the store, and this was at Home Depot, five dogs, and another associate brought it to my attention, and I said, I'm sorry, ma'am, you can't have all these dogs in here. And she questioned me. She said, why not? I said, well, they got to be service animals. And she said, well, the store down the street said it's okay for me to bring them in there. Well, there's the difference. That's the store down the street, not the store right here. And see, remember, there's laws and then there's policies. There's a difference. Different establishments have different policies. Correct?
Yeah, well,
so,
see,
yeah.
According to, but here's the thing, with the ADA, even in a grocery store,
mm-hmm.
service animals are permitted.
Service animals, right.
Right.
And what do you have do you have to have to identify that it is a service animal? What do you have to have? You have to have documentation that is a certified service animal. It went through the training. It has to have its service animal gear on. At least that's what I see now. I may be wrong, but correct me, but I doubt it. You have to show, because let's say, for instance, if I had a service animal and I just walk into a store and a person or the manager says, hey, no, you can't bring that dog in here. And I say, it's a service animal. What do I have to provide to that manager to let them know, no, this is a qualified, documented service animal? Is there such thing?
Okay, here's the point. Now,
well, but that was my question. But go
okay,
ahead.
I was getting ready to answer your question. Okay.
Sure, sir.
Schools like the Seeing Eye, Leader Dog, Pilot Dog, most dog guide schools, okay, they provide what they call a dog guide ID, okay, which shows a picture of the dog and the handler, and it states what school the dog graduated from and that it's been highly trained, okay. Now, other types of service animals, such as those that help with wheelchairs, et cetera, they come with a type of ID like that. But emotional support animals, they do not. Okay, there is no such a, quote, certification for them. People, there's where the big rub comes, and that's where this big controversy has been coming up lately. Because people go on Amazon, as I've been pointing out, they go like on Amazon. They get these jackets that say service animal. They put them on their pet. They get a letter from their doctor stating they need this pet for emotional support because there's no required training for an emotional support animal. But when you read the ADA, it makes it very plain even an emotional support animal must have at least be under control, housebroken, and groomed. But these people that are doing this stuff don't even care about what the ADA require.
No, I have myself on mute because, while I was listening. Yeah, but go ahead. I just put myself on mute, but go ahead.
But just like you were saying, yeah, just because an animal has a jacket or, quote, gear, unquote, on that says service animal doesn't mean that it's a proper service animal. What it means is, okay, they claim it's a service animal, but if it's not if it don't meet those three qualifications, if it comes in your store, and your sign on the door says service animals permitted. If it comes in your store, it's out of control, it's not well-groomed, and it's not housebroken, it's obvious it's going to take in a dump everywhere it wants to, then you as a store have the right. Bye-bye.
Correct. But then again, going back to what you said, but the store cannot tell you can't come in because you are not the problem. You, the
right owner.
So then at that point, you, the owner, have a decision to make. Either hopefully you have a family member with you who will take that dog and take him to the car or take him home, because I would not want anyone to put their dog inside of a car and roll up the windows, you know, and have it die like many have done. But you have the choice. They're saying that dog can't come back in here because they are not, you know, well-trained enough to be inside of a building around folks, not, you know, as you just said it all. So you as the owner have to make a choice. The store doesn't. The store already made up its mind. You, okay. Dog, no. Simple as that. So you as the owner of that dog or the individual has to make up their mind. You're going to put your dog in that car and come back in there and get your service? That's up to you. That's up to you. Now, here comes someone who sees that dog locked up in that car. Let's say it's the middle of summer and the windows are rolled up. Now you're getting yourself in even more trouble because that can become cruelty to animals. It's up to the dog owner, not to the store. You follow my point? It's up to them.
Exactly.
Maybe this time you should have left the dog at home or had someone watch the dog and then got someone to assist you for your shopping. And I'm not saying you personally. I'm just saying the individual. Because you have to think about it. You know your dog better than the store does or any customer in there does. You should know that. So in my opinion, that's a no-brainer. It's up to the owner of the dog, how much do you care about that dog? And there are a lot of folks out there who should not own pets, in my opinion. There's a lot that should not own a dog or a cat.
Exactly. All right. What we're going to do now is, as we call her Ghost Dot, which is my wife's sister, Ruth, she is the one manning our board today. Do we have any other callers on the line who would like to ask our guests questions?
Well, you got six.
All right. Dot six. All right. Well, you got any questions for our guest today? Hopefully he got his coffee by now. His mic is open, right, Ruth?
Yeah.
Okay, your mic is open, Six, if you got any questions for our guest.
Hello, everybody's going. So, I'm stopping at the store. I'm hungry. And
yeah, you sound like you got your mouth full.
So why are you bothering?
Hey, he's hungry.
How come I can't see the shop? I'm going to pay for the food. What do you say about that?
Say again?
I'm a hungry shopper. I'm eating while I'm shopping. Mm. I'm going to pay for the food. Now, why y'all going to say something to me? Ain't I allowed to do that?
Okay, so since you're not going to ask a question, can I ask you, what are you eating for you to have that much in your mouth when you can barely be heard? What is it? Go ahead and swallow before you try to speak again.
Okay, so what if you have a shopper that likes to shop and is eating while shopping? Have you ever came across anything like that?
No, wait a minute. Run that by one more time.
Okay, his question is, okay, let me repeat his question. He's saying, say you got a shopper that comes in the store and he grabs a bunch of bananas and he starts to peel some of the banana peels off and starts eating the bananas. He hasn't paid for them yet, but then one of your associates comes over and says, hey, you haven't paid for those yet. And the guy says, well, I intend to pay for them. So why can't I eat these bananas now?
Okay, so let me go back in time. Let me go way back when I was a kid. I used to do that same thing, okay? Grab a couple of grapes and this and that and the other and got in trouble for it, right? And my mom was still in the store. We hadn't walked out the store. But that was considered stealing. And this was back in the 1970s, okay? So think about it. All right, so now let's fast forward to, you know, this era. People do that all the time. People will grab something, you know, the baby's crying, you know, no, my mama, I want that. And they'll open up the package and give it to the kid. As long as you scan that item and pay for it before you go out that door, you're good.
Okay.
It's not stealing until you go past a certain point in any store. You can have anything in your shopping cart. You can open up in a Walmart, in a Home Depot, in a Lowe's. You can open up basically anything in there. People do it every day.
Okay.
You know, they're not satisfied with looking at what it is on the box and reading what's on the package. They have to look at the product, right? And then what kills me, they'll open up that box, see what they want to see, set that box down, and then grab one that's not open. That really gets me. I'm like, so what's wrong with the one that you opened? How come you can't buy that? It ain't been used. But that's what
people
do. And to me, that and what people don't understand is that when you do that, I think that you're really making it more expensive to shop because now it's considered an open product. You know, manufacturers put a seal on things. And once that seal is broke, the consumer's not stupid. They know, hey, this has been open. You throw some tape on there, and the customer is going to be like, no, this has been open. Look at that box compared to that box. So what does the store have to do or the merchant have to do in order to sell it? Because it will sit there and collect dust until they bring down the price because it's open box. But people don't realize that, or they don't think about that. So you're
right.
really shooting yourself in the foot by doing these type of things, you know. And I've seen it year after year after year after year after year at every company I've worked for. I've seen where people do stuff like that. What kills me is that there's a box already open on the shelf. But you have to open up another one to see what's in it. And then somebody comes right behind you, and they got to open up a third one, and then a fourth one, and then a fifth one, and then a sixth one. And all that becomes marked down at some point.
That's ignorance. So you got to mark down six products
mm-hmm.
and then raise the prices to offset what you lowered.
Exactly. Home Depot was had to do that in a few instances. And I do remember when I worked for them. Sometimes when they had, like, let's say, for instance, doors on sale, interior door slabs. Okay,
uh-huh.
They put them on sale, knock them off about, you know, $4 or $5, maybe, you know, a little more. But if you go look at some of the other doors, the prices went up.
Uh-huh.
So it's always passed on to another consumer for the sale on certain things. You follow me? Home Depot really was paying almost dollar for dollar for some of their products in certain departments. They didn't make much profit off of certain things. Now, some things they made a lot of profit off of. Like right now with Halloween, I know back then they would have a, what was it? They would have this automated skeleton thing that moved around and things. They charged $85 for it. But
wow.
I could look in the system and see they only paid $15 in bulk.
Wow.
Now I'm talking about
that's
Home Depot. Hell yeah. Because Halloween only comes once a year. Why not get all the money now?
Yeah.
What you forget me is that where there was some of those blow-ups that were $100 and something, and then right afterwards, hell, they mark them all the way down to, you know, $45.
Okay. Now, I bought an item from a particular store you named. It was Home Depot. And I bought a rugged 16-gallon shop vac.
It was a Rigid,
okay.
Right.
Rigid.
It was
Rigid.
And
yeah.
That's a Home Depot product, yeah.
Yeah, and the casters would not screw into the bottom of the where the water collected.
Mm-hmm.
And when you turned it over, it fell right back out. So
mm-hmm.
was that a manufacturer's defect or what? Because I couldn't get them to screw in. It had nothing to screw into.
Well, here's the thing. Certain products, okay, so there are some that are made to screw in and some that are made to where you pop them in and they latch. You follow me? You have to, you know, like pop them in there. And what happens is there's like a, what is it? It's like a, it's not an O-ring, but it's a, you know what I'm saying? What I'm trying to say. It's like you might have to like tap the wheel and then it you hit it hard enough. It'll pop up in there tight enough to where it won't pop out. It's like there's a catch up inside of that part. Now, that's how I've seen certain products work. I'm not saying for sure that one, right? And it will catch. But then again, you have some products where, you know, that are just flat out defective, true enough. You know, and some companies, you know, of course, they do what they have to do, which is a recall. You know, and refund your money. So did you still have that unit or did you take it back?
I still have the unit, but I didn't long since lost the receipt.
Mm-hmm.
How long ago did
you buy it?
This was back in the summer.
This past summer, and did you pay cash or card?
cash. It was I got it on sale for $79.
Okay, so then you'll never get a refund on that.
Can I ask six? Mm-hmm. Can I ask you a question? Do you have one of the casters in your hand, or able to get one in your hand?
I'm not even at the location. No.
Well, when you do someday, give me a call. I'll be able to tell you if they're actually a screw-in type or a pop-in type, and I might be able to help you with that.
There you go.
Because I could tell how just by the feel of them what they're – I'll be able to tell you what to feel for, and if they're the pop-in type, then I'll be able to tell you how to take care of it.
Yeah, okay. Because the pop-in type –
they have a special feel, and I'll be able to tell them what to feel for.
Right, because the piece that goes in.
You're talking to a guy
smooth,
here that I deal with all that kind of hardware
well,
stuff.
Don't cut the man off. Go ahead, Michael. Go ahead.
No, I was saying that right, because the caster, you know, the actual piece that goes into the hole, which is the connector, if it has threads on it, then, yeah, it should have been a screw-in. But if it's smooth, no, that's a pop-in. That's got to be a pop-in. And you just have to put, you know, might get a rubber mallet, tap it, and it should catch and not pop back in. That's the way they're supposed to be made now. This I know. And you know what's so funny is that where when you're talking about it was a shop vac, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Here's a crazy thing, and mind you, I was working at one of the do-it-yourself stores. When those floods were going on, there was a bunch of floods that were going on over in Louisiana. Some that were going on here in Georgia a few years back. There was a lot of floods going on, and people were rushing and buying these shop vacs. And you know what they were doing? Using them and bringing them back.
Oh, wow.
I mean, literally, use them, bring them back. The store can't say no. You got a receipt.
Well, why not?
No,
why
they
not?
Can't. Because, look, they can't. When you say, when a company or a store says, hey, look, you know, you got 30 days to return this product. If you go buy it today and I do what I want to do and return it 2 weeks later, you can't question me why I'm bringing it back. I can tell you anything. I don't want it. But see, there's nothing saying that, well, once you used it, you can't bring it back. There's no policy like that. Money back guarantee, my friend.
Wow.
Money back guarantee. Now, one thing I think that every store should not allow when it comes to something like an auger for a toilet, I don't think those should be returned because to me, that's a health hazard. If a person uses it and bring it back, you mean to tell me you stuffed this down your toilet and now you brought it back and now the store is going to put it back on the shelf? Cause you
now, what is
it
thing? What is this thing called? You're talking about
a toilet auger. A toilet auger, not a plunger.
Toilet plunger.
Toilet auger. No, not a plunger, an auger. The auger
sewer snake you're talking about.
Right, the sewer thing, the snake, yeah. It's also called an auger, but, you know, a person will use that, rinse it off, let it dry, put it back in the package, and take it back.
Oh, wow.
Now, what I found out that was interesting, that there was an employee that worked at a major do-it-yourself chain in another state, and they told me, no, we don't take those back. We never will. So there's the difference. See, the difference of one store or one region compared to another. I'm not sure how that worked out. I don't know if that was a policy or a non-policy with this particular chain, but this individual said, wow, they're letting them bring these back? And they told me, they said, hey, where I'm from, Michigan, you can't bring these back. Once
right.
it's used, no. And you could tell it's
yeah.
used. You can tell it's been used. And you're probably wondering, hey, you ain't got to see no crap on it.
Right.
You could tell it's been used.
So what is it? Is it a certain color before the water hits it, or you just got to have a trained eye?
Once the seal is broken, it's considered used. See? Because a lot of product that you get now, you know it has that seal on it, right? Once you
yeah.
take that seal, even if you didn't use it, it's considered used. If you didn't need it and you change your mind before breaking that seal, then you can bring it back. And they got seals
all
the way around. But once that seal is broke, that's used.
Okay. Wow.
Yep. Even, and I'll say this, I worked in the electronics department prior to where I'm at now, but even like your earbuds and everything, here's one thing I do like about what, at least at our store, what we do. If a person buys earbuds, you know, like the iPods and everything, this and the other,
uh-huh.
and a person
uh-huh.
brings it back and the seal's broke, we can't resell that. We can't. We don't.
So what do you do?
We claim it out. We send it back. Because, I mean, you don't want – I mean, they're not going to put a product that's been in somebody's ear back on the shelf for you to put in your ear.
Yeah,
I
don't even like
that's
earwax. Yeah.
That's like a person buy a toothbrush or electric toothbrush and package it all back up and say, well, we can still sell it. It still works. I mean, come on, man. Certain
yeah.
things you just can't put back on the shelf because you don't know. Even electronics, when it comes to computers and certain things like that, you can't resell a computer that's left out of the store, and no company should, because you don't know if someone's personal information is if they put something on there.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So those things, and I have to hand it to, and I will say Walmart that they do have those certain things in place. Because it is protecting the customer's identity. Because if you were to go ahead and resell that stuff, ain't no telling what's on there and what somebody could do with it. If they actually got to that, you know, got that far with using that particular laptop or desktop, right? It's not always about the profit. There is some protective measures involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But no,
yeah, like
man.
I say, I have a pleasant time. Every time I go to Walmart, I have a pleasant time. I have my shopper that helps me, and they got the most patience, you know.
Well, let me
and
ask
it,
you a
it
question.
Makes your, it makes your experience good because they're not rushing you. They're not getting angry. They're not rushing you, and it's a good feeling.
Is this a shopper that's a friend of yours or a person that works there?
Oh, no. These are your people. These are your people.
These are who?
These people will go around. They will go around. They got, like, I don't know what it is, but they can tell you what aisle everything is in.
Mm-hmm.
They will shop with you. I go shopping every month. I go shopping. And
mm-hmm.
I oftentimes run into the same associate.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we know we got to get your chicken patties. We know we got to get your green apples. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like they learn you. They learn your shopping habits.
Right.
And, like I said, it's a good feeling. You know, they will go down the aisle with you. They will shop, and it's a good feeling.
Fantastic, man. And here's the thing, Wolfgang, I have to say this, is that where, now what Six just shared, see, what we're speaking of, you know, I haven't seen that type of experience from a shopper that Six has or that type of service that Six is getting, because I don't see that many, if any, individuals with you know, a disability like, you know, Six has in itself. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that that will be something that would be, you know, addressed and taken care of, you know, and the best of service. Excuse me, but Six, when we get off the air, I would like for you to give me the information of the store that you're at and everything, because I'd like to bring that to the attention that that service is being given to you in that area. So I'd like to give a shout out and really look into who those individuals are, because that's very interesting. I'm glad to hear that, honestly. And that should be something that should be considered at every store, because you just never know, you know, who might need assistance, you know, and you saying that you basically almost have the regular crew there to help out. So that's great.
Now, speaking of, like we were speaking about service animals before here.
Michael, I'm sorry, I know you were still talking. I'm sorry.
Okay, but speaking of service animals, like we were speaking a little earlier, and then you mentioned like at, I think it was Home Depot or whatever, Lowe's or whatever,
mm-hmm.
How they had a special area for the dogs to go out and be able to relieve themselves, okay?
I didn't say they had a special area. No, I'm saying, no, when I told that part of it, there wasn't a special area. No, what had occurred is that when this family brought their dog in and he started relieving himself on the aisle, the owner rushed the dog outside to where, you know how they have those little island things with the trees and the mulch and everything, you know, just like the little parking area, you know, the little islands there. She took the dog out there on the island to let him finish. Then she was trying to bring the dog back in, and then I definitely let her know, no, you can't bring the dog back in. And then another situation had occurred. I have to say this real quick, because there's been so many situations that has happened with people and their pets. There was a guy, his dog relieved itself right there in the store, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking at it. And he said, oh my goodness. I said, wait right here. I'll be right back. And I got him a roll of paper towel. I went and got a bottle of disinfectant, and I handed it to the owner in a plastic bag. He said, thank you. And he cleaned up his own dog's poop. I said, I'll dispose of it. Because, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I was nice enough to give him what he needed to clean it up, not me. See what I'm saying? You bring your pet in here, your pet does that, you should be responsible for the cleanup.
And that's the point. With a good service animal handler, they're trained to do that themselves. They usually carry bags with them and everything they need to take care of that. And this brought me to the question that I was just about to ask you. Has your store, okay, your chain, the Walmart, because I know some other stores, they don't think of this, but have they ever considered having maybe a special designated spot for service animal users to use? That way they could allow their service animal a chance to relieve themselves before coming in and having like a trash receptacle where they can, you know, if they have to baggie up their dog's little souvenir, and they could throw it in the trash can right there and have everything they need right there.
Okay, so you're speaking of the company I work for. And again, I speak very, you know, cautiously, because I do work for the company. And the thing
let's stop making reference. Hold on.
Okay, what I'm saying, exactly. So I want to say this is that where any store can offer that type of thing, but let's be realistic here. Is that realistic? Because here's the thing. If they were to put that out there, like a dog park is what you're saying, So before you go into the store, let your dog do his little tinkle tinkle, poo poo poo, and everything. Do you really think that that dog owner is going to clean it up? I do not think so. I'm just being honest.
On,
I really doubt it.
Hold on, Michael. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Here on out, do not make any more reference to the name of the store. It's store. Okay? Here on out.
And that's what I was saying. I mean, every store, I mean you got all kinds of chains that are, you know, which we already mentioned many of them, but just a lot of chains that have these same type of issues and questions about, you know, how they can do better. We have named a few, but there's many more. But not every store can you know, you can't please everybody. But now going back to
right.
your question, could that store do that? Is that feasible? Does it make sense? Why should they spend money to maintain something where you could take care of that before you even come to their establishment? I mean, if you feed your dog at the right time, you kind of have an idea when they're going to take a crap, just like horses. If you feed, you know, I mean, if you do certain things at the right time, the establishment, the store, is not responsible for your dog. And I get it, you know, to be honest. I mean, again, I say that this is an era where I've seen more animals inside stores. Trust me, I've seen a little baby billy goat walking down the aisle with its owner. And it's the cutest little thing, okay? It's the cutest little thing. I'm going to say, like, you know, a woman would say, it's so cute. But it's still
mm-hmm.
a billy goat. It's going to grow up to be a big goat. You're going to start bringing it inside the damn store again? When
right.
It starts, I hope it's not it is a billy goat. But if he gets horns and everything, he rams somebody, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Because you got to say, you still allow him to bring this goat in.
Yeah. It comes down to the home training of the animal, you know. And you got some people who are just honorary. You know, they want to feed the dog. Oh, eat this, eat this. And it's like they get the enjoyment, and not all people, but they get the enjoyment of having the dog do his business in the aisle. And then one of the people are going to have to come get it up because that interrupts the experience of the shopper.
There
you know,
you
if they have to go down that particular aisle. You know, so you have some honorary shoppers that just like to see that, you know. And for those,
exactly.
you know, those are the ones with the poor habits of you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to overfeed them when you know you're about to go to the store.
And here's the thing, too, though, you know, at six, that you have to understand, every major retail chain has great stores, and many of them have some struggling stores.
Uh-huh.
What I learned, when I say struggling, what I learned, and it's really a fact where it's not about it being in a black neighborhood, white neighborhood. It's an economic thing. It's a cultural thing, in my opinion now, you know, because I've been to many stores of every type of retailer, and I've seen some that where it's a mixture of individuals, right?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Black, white, Hispanic. It's class. And let me explain that.
Uh-huh.
I've been to stores of all type of chains, as I said. Now I'm not pointing out just one, but
right.
it's a variety of individuals, but it's about the economic class. Some areas that have a higher economic class do take care of their stores.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being honest. I've seen it.
Yeah.
And then you still have the same mixture of people with a little bit lower economic class, it just don't.
Yeah, you got to take – so here's the thing. You got to take pride where you
in
live.
Your neighborhood.
You got to take pride where you shop because –
Right.
Even, I mean, and to kind of shift gears just a little bit, we're going to get back on course. So
mm-hmm.
it's like when they was doing all that rioting, when the unfortunate situation with George Floyd, that gentleman mm-hmm. that got killed in your city at the Wendy's, you know, so they burnt that Wendy's down. They rebuilt it, but you better believe they made up in it when they raised the price for the sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? So nobody mm-hmm. won in that situation. So it's like you want to have the convenience of having the stores that people love to shop at. Well, take pride in it. You know, take pride in it, because
correct.
Otherwise it's just the name. But if you got a good staff in there and the consumers that's coming in there have no cooth, then it's a problem. You know?
Right. You have to say, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But you know, it's a bad reflection, because when prices get raised, you know, and then when they close, well, you didn't appreciate the store when it was there.
Correct.
You know, you got people stealing TVs and this and that. You know, and you know, it's just not cool.
Mm-hmm. But what bothers me is that we're unfortunately. When the news is putting the information out, of course, it's you know, said in a certain racial community, but no, there's a lot of people of other races that live in that same area that's shopping from that same place, right? It's about,
uh-huh.
as I said, it's about culture and also it's not just about the culture, and I mean, and I'm not saying just black culture, because there's neighborhoods everywhere that have a mixed culture. You got black,
right.
white, Hispanic, everything, right? So you can't say it's just one race. It's just that economic section of town. See what I mean?
Right.
It's just that everybody. Not everybody in that area is black. Not everybody in that area is Hispanic. There's a mixture. Of people there, even Asian.
Right.
Well, you know what? Some of the Asians have businesses there, you know. So
yeah.
The thing is that it's just that mentality of where, well, you know, I don't care. But like I said, I've been in other areas where it's the same mixture of people, but they take care of their area, like you just said. They take care of their stores because they need those stores,
uh-huh.
and they respect those stores. And I'm trying to understand why that is not why is that happening in a lot of areas. And I've talked to a lot of folks, you know, not just here in Georgia, you know, six. You know, I know folks in various areas, and they say, Mike,
yeah.
you're right. I see that
yeah.
happening even in this state.
Yeah,
and
it's all about
research.
It's all about the upbringing of the individual.
Correct.
It boils down to that, how they were raised.
Mm-hmm.
However you were
mm-hmm.
raised is what you're going to become, you know.
And the duration
and
that you take. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you grew up not appreciating anything, even when something comes your way, like a store, a restaurant, if you
mm-hmm.
can't appreciate anything, you're not going to appreciate a restaurant. You're not going to appreciate a nice store. Why? Because you wasn't raised like that. You know, it's all about your upbringing. How you were raised.
Well, and I'm glad that you said that. You're saying it in a past tense, how you are being raised is what gets me. Not how you were raised, how you're being raised. What, I mean, what value do you have on anything? Okay, and not to get all the way off this topic that we were talking about, but it goes back to what Wolfgang was saying about respect, customer service. You know,
uh-huh.
through all the stores and the big, you know, companies or the big retail stores and everything, you know, of course they're in the business to make money, but they're giving you a service.
Uh-huh.
They're putting stuff in your community, and don't get it twisted. Not just the black community. Suffers, white, Hispanic, Asian, all of them suffer when these particular locations shut down or the prices go up. So let's not get it twisted. That's what you hear from the media, but I'm telling you what I've researched and looked at. No, it hurts a lot of people.
Right.
And then what happens is that where there's a place just right next to what, not quite right next, but right by where I work. It's an Asian wing place. It's been that for years. One family sold it to the other, and they're popular. They make great money. I mean, they make good money. They were open 7 days a week. Just recently, seven days a week, and you would see the same individuals there behind the counter. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They'd be there every day. And just recently, guess what? They're closed on Mondays. And I would be outside, and I look, and I see people walk up to the door. Mind you, the lights that say Philly cheesesteak, wings, and everything were off. But people still walk up to the door and grab the handle thinking they're going to go in. Ain't nobody sitting at a damn table. They were just so used to them being open 7 days a week. Think of the mindset here now.
Uh-huh.
You walking into a place, nobody in it. What, you think that just they just don't have no customers? And the man grabbed the door. I've seen this more than once now. I'm telling you guys a true story here. Every Monday I see this when I go outside on my break, and I'm like, you still haven't figured out. They're closed on Mondays now. Hell, they're making enough money. They're like, we don't need to be open on or either we're good. We don't have to be open on Monday, or we just need a break.
Yeah, and talking about stores closing up, you know, they said we're due for another government shutdown, you know, with this third strand of COVID. From the Six Eyes Radio Network, we still encourage you to wear your mask, have your hand sanitizer, because we're not out the woods yet. So wear your mask. Make it part of your wardrobe.
I'm glad you said that, because I see a lot of folks are wearing masks even more so day by day. But go ahead, sir.
Yeah. So just, you know, keep your mask, keep your hand sanitizer with you. And if you cough, still cough into your sleeve. Don't cough like you're a two-year-old. Don't sneeze like you're a two-year-old. You know, thank you. We want you to be safe here at the 6 Hours Radio Network. Now back to our interview with Michael Gay. Now here's what's interesting. I have a cat named Trumpet. Now, I made my little chicken sandwich, and I'm still holding it. And his dinner time is 8:25, so he just got off the couch and going to eat his food, because he's on an automatic timer. If I'm not home, it'll dispense its food. So now I can have my sandwich. I'm gonna give y'all the rest of the show, but I'm still here listening.
All right. Sorry, Wolfgang. You know, me and Six got to chop it up every now and then, but let me tell you guys a little bit here, if you don't mind. Wolfgang, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go right ahead.
Though we're talking about, you know, what we agreed to talk about, I want to share a little bit about myself and what I just recently went through, if you don't mind. You know, of course, you know, I host a radio show myself on Blog Talk Radio. And been doing this for a while. Six knows that. Years ago, I used to do a live stream. I've been blessed to have some great artists on there, great guests on there. And it got a little costly. I said, well, let me go ahead and back out of that. And I did. I backed out of it. And I found out about the J. King Network. And, Mr. Lynn Tolliver, and Jay King actually too caught my attention. Was communicating with Jay King, met Lynn Tolliver, started checking out the other shows there, like of course, you know, Kings in the Morning and many other shows. And Lynn Tolliver, the late great Lynn Tolliver, had gave me the opportunity to be the host of a show that he had called The Cool Critics. And I took that challenge. It took me a minute to do so. And it was an interesting journey. And then later on, Lynn said, hey, look, we're going to just change it and just call it The Michael Gay Show. Some people thought I did that, but I did not. That was Lynn's choice. And worked on that for a while and then parted ways with the J.K. Network. I'm not going to go into detail what occurred, but parted ways. But me and Jay is still cool. And then someone said, well, hell, start your own. And that's what I did. I started TMGN, the Michael Gay Network. We've been really good for a number of years. Unfortunately, just recently I had a little travesty happen. House caught on fire. So now our network is on hiatus. Just when I signed two new shows to come on, which will be joining us, we're going to be back on in November, actually the first part of November. I'm not going to say the date. But, you know, it's just been a blessing for me, to be honest, to be in this whole thing of networking with people, having a network. You understand what I'm saying? I've never met Jay King in person. I've never met Six Eyes. I've never met Wolfgang. I've never met, there's so many people I've never met in person, but it's like I know them. It's like I've known them for years. And technically, I have known them for years. You get it? Just through voice and conversation. And that's what's so amazing about this platform, these platforms that we all have, is that we are able to communicate as friends and family, though we're far apart. So I truly appreciate being a part of this whole thing, this thing that where we can communicate and talk and have conversations about things that even though you live on that end of the map or in that part of the country, we have a lot in common and a lot of concerns about things, and we all come together and discuss them. I think it's just amazing and awesome. So, yeah, I want to thank you guys and look forward to coming back and, you know, and continuing what we do. You guys are great. I'm really thankful to know all of you and meeting many more. Okay? So I'm on pause. This is the Michael Gay interview. I figured I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. Well, we did have a great time here. And as you were mentioning, though, about the relief area thing, and you were talking about how, well, most service animals, yes, they're those like dog guides, they're on a strict schedule, mm-hmm. okay, like you were mentioning. But mm-hmm. I'm just going to give an example out there of what I was leading in with my question, okay, mm-hmm. is, for example, my, let's say, Home Depot, okay, it's all the way on the east side, and you have to ride a bus, and it takes practically like an hour, okay,
really?
Just to get there, okay.
Wow.
And after being on the bus for an hour, you know, it'd be nice, or if I can't get the bus, I may have to walk out there, which takes almost like 2 hours, okay, which mm-hmm. by the time you get out there, it'd be nice to, you know, have a place to give the dog a space to relieve itself.
Right, yeah, I follow you.
Before entering the store, and I'd be able to take care of his needs, clean up after the dog, because most, like I said, service dog handlers, they're responsible. They are the ones who are mm-hmm. responsible. I'm not talking about some pet owner we're talking about those who are highly trained and knowing what they're doing with their service animal.
Wolfgang, just shortly, you're, I don't know if you moved around or anything, but it's starting to chop up, but I can hear you. But go ahead, see if we can clear that up. Were you moving
it,
around?
It's you're the one who's chopping up because even your signal is chopping up here.
Don't
maybe mine? Okay. Excuse me?
You're choppy, too, because it must have been you moved or something because your signal's choppy.
No, I'm sitting in the same spot. I haven't moved at all for the whole show.
Huh.
Yeah,
actually,
I'm sitting in the same spot.
Garbled on my end.
It's clear on your end? Hello? I thought she said it was clear on her end or what. I don't know. Hello?
Hello?
There you are. Now you're clear.
Okay. You're still a little bit choppy, but hold on a minute. Okay. I'm going to try to... No, go ahead and say it again.
You're there, but you're still choppy.
Okay, do we have time for me to just go ahead and call back in?
No, there you're clear. You're perfect now.
Okay, now you're clear. I don't know what happened, but now you're clear. That's crazy.
Okay, there we go.
You guys sound better to me, too.
But like I was saying,
okay,
basically, you know, most service animal users that have trained animals, they are responsible people.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so,
and I agree with you.
That's the ones I was in reference to.
Mm-hmm.
When I was asking the question about, you know, a place for the dog to be get relief before they come into the store, because they're responsible people and having like a little area for them to relieve themselves, and the person would clean up after their animal, throw their little souvenirs in a trash can that would be right handy,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing, because the person's going to guarantee they would do that because they are trained to do so.
Right. But here's the thing, though. You just told me something I was not aware of. Now, you're in Ohio, right?
Right.
And if you don't mind sharing, where in Ohio?
Ashtabula, Ohio, the northeast area.
Northeast. So it's a smaller community, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're telling me that you have to go an hour to a Home Depot, obviously there's not many there. But now that is something that if I were you, in my own opinion, I would, you know, actually contact corporate and say, hey, look, I travel an hour to your store with my pet. Can you, you know, put together, because see, Home Depot can do what they want. Can you put together a dog park? Can you put together something for the individuals like yourself who are shopping at their location, bringing our pets, but then again, you know, you don't have something for that type of, thing as far as being pet friendly, for lack of a better term. I would really, to be honest with you, I've done a lot of things outside of the companies I work for. I've questioned, and even Domino's Pizza, I got them to deliver in a neighborhood they just wrote off, okay, years ago. They just wrote off the whole neighborhood based on a whole other side of town. I'm like, no, there's a bunch of senior citizens over here. When they told me they could not deliver to a house across the street because the intersecting house was on a different street address and name, I said, that makes no sense. And literally, I had the district supervisor and the manager come out, and we went through the neighborhood, and I showed them exactly where, you know, you have to look at the number of the area. When I say the number of that's a long story. But lo and behold, the next day they started delivering over there, and they were throwing coupons and everything into folks' yards in little cups. If you don't do the research, talk to the people, you won't get responses. And I promise you, it works. It worked for me with Domino's Pizza. Okay, so you need to contact Home Depot, tell them the situation, and, you know, can they do it? Yes, they can. There's no question they can do it or not. They can do that. And that will probably be a good thing for them. you know, because I'm sure you're not the only one who has to travel an hour and might want to bring their pet, and the pet is able to relieve themselves because they don't have a pet restroom inside the store, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So, again, you know, I can't speak on their behalf, but I'm just giving you an idea. Contact, you know, contact corporate, contact them and talk to a person who's involved with a not media, but with I'm trying to think of the term, customer relations. You can contact them, send them a letter, you know, find out who it is first. I will get the name of the person who's in charge of that in that particular area, you know, who's in charge, because corporations like this, it's not always at the, you know, at the corporate level here in Atlanta. They could have certain locations for those certain regions and everything. So I will find out who's in charge of those certain things. And then I will put together something and let them know. Tell them your story. Tell them what you deal with. You have other folks who do the same thing. Put that all together, you know, and I will send it out to them. Make sure they respond. And if they don't, then sometimes you have to go with the media, because obviously this is an inconvenience for when you make that travel 1 hour, right, to go to their store. 1 hour to go to their store to buy their product. They don't want to lose you as a customer, my friend. I promise you that. They don't want to lose you as a customer. They will do the research and look at it. You know what? This ain't going to cost us nothing. We could do this. We can afford this. But you have to put together an idea of how it will work. It's not where they're going to have employees standing out there picking up dog poop and this and the other all day, right? You have to make it where it's user-friendly, or where the individual who has their dog will be responsible for it. How does that work? So you have to put that whole thing together and convince them to make this happen. They got the area to do it. They got
all
the
right
area to do it.
Okay. Well, we are fast approaching our time where we're going to have to cut off here. So I think unless Six has any further questions or anybody has any further questions, I think we may have to call it a day here and let our guests go, because we are fast coming to the end of our show.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions from anybody else?
No, I don't have a question, but I do have a comment. I love Vegetable at Walmart, so I'll put a word in for ours, too.
I'm sorry.
Actually, I like Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's that we've got over here. Kind of a little bit of all of them over here. Okay. So, well, it seems like we are good with everybody. So, for the Jumbo Braille program, yours truly,
Can I say
Big
one
Dot?
Last thing? Can I say one last thing, sir?
Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, thank you so much for inviting me in. We talked before the show and everything, and I really appreciate the questions and comments that you brought me. I guess not many people had much to ask me, so I guess that's a good thing because they're listening. But I truly appreciate it. Look forward to listening to your show more often. And I would love to see that you do what I suggested to see if those local stores can actually assist you, you know, with those things. And then again, give me a holler back, because I definitely want to talk to you about other things, which I will talk to some of the individuals that I know at certain stores. I'm not going to mention no names that I do know, and see if, you know, once I mention it to them, the concerns that you have, and see if they have more questions or more answers, right? Because it's getting to that point that, you know, everybody should be served equally. And I agree with you on that. And everybody should have a great customer service experience. So thank you so much for inviting me, Wolfgang. I really appreciate it. Interesting conversation, interesting topic, and I'll be more than happy to come back if you invite me, and let's go over and do a, you know, just revisit it again and see what has been accomplished maybe in a few months down the road, or you know what I mean? You know, I think it's really a great topic and something that needs to be looked into.
Yeah, part two down the road sounds like a great idea. So we will definitely have to look into that. And also maybe you could look into that email that I sent you. Maybe that might stir some ideas for you to pass along to some of the people that you work with, because there's a lot of good tips in there for you. It's off of our website. It's got lots of good tips. Maybe you can say, hey, look, hey, good training information. You know, hey, pass it along. Hey, maybe pass it along to your local Lowe's or Home Depot or something. Say, hey, you know, good training information. Go over here and check this website out. Okay?
Okay.
As I said, for Big Dot, better known as Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, Ghost Dot, better known as Sister Ruth, and Dot Six, ours only, Six Eyes, we want to say thanks for joining us there, Michael, and we definitely will look into having you back on a future program, because this was definitely very interesting, talking about accessibility issues in different stores. Not just Walmart, but yeah, true enough, Home Depot, Lowe's, hey, even that little mom and pop shop. Yeah, because it's very interesting to know about how you guys love to trip us up, especially us blind guys, moving the merchandise around. I think you do it just for fun, just to see us scratch our heads. All right, so we're going to say God bless, good night, and don't forget to check us out tonight on Station 1. You call 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617, 9 p.m. here, coming up very, very quickly for Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. You'll get a good message from God's Word, and I encourage everybody to join us. God bless everybody.
Take care, everyone.